Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Advent is a season of preparation. In our homes, many of us are preparing by putting up our Christmas decorations. And if you're like me, I don't know why, but every time I move and rearrange things, I find the need to clean just a little bit deeper and add a little bit more work for myself. But we're preparing by decorating. We're putting up our tree and trimming it with lights and ornaments. We're baking or starting to think about baking. We're sending out cards, we're wrapping presents. We're getting ready for Christmas, which as of today is 20 days away. It never ceases to amaze me how fast Advent goes by. And in the midst of our Advent busyness comes John the Baptist. Every year, on the second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist enters the scene. This year, we're lucky enough to get to hear from him the second and third Sundays of Advent. But why does he appear during Advent? Did the people who put together the lectionary not realize that this is Advent and not Lent? This seems like much more of a Lenten scripture passage for us to hear. I think Lent would be a better place for the call to God's repentance. But let's look again, and maybe a little bit deeper. Because the truth is that Advent, like Lent, is a season of waiting and preparation. And although what we are waiting and preparing for is different, the work of waiting and preparing our hearts is still the same. Just like we can't skip over Good Friday and jump right to Easter, we can't skip over Advent and jump right to Christmas. Just as John the Baptist calls the Israelites to prepare for Jesus to come among them, Advent calls the church to prepare for Jesus to come among us. Lutheran pastor Brian Stoffregen says this: "Perhaps if we want to properly prepare for the coming of Jesus, rather than looking in the manger, we need to listen to John." I think that's easier said than done. John the Baptist can be kind of hard to listen to. Not only does he have an interesting wardrobe and diet, his message can come across as really harsh. If we were to read one more verse beyond the passage today, which we will read next Sunday, John says to the crowd that came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Whew, we just don't quite know what to make of John the Baptist, any time of the year really, but especially in Advent. And yet, Jesus says that John is one of the greatest prophets. I think it's important to remember that the role of prophets in Scripture and in the world today isn't to warn people about a doomsday or predict the future. Prophets were and are truth tellers. And here, John the Baptist is telling the people the truth that they need to change their ways to prepare for the coming of Christ. He's telling them that they need to repent. We've got our own vocabulary in the church, don't we? And repentance is one of those words that we really don't use outside the church. Maybe in our homes once in a while, but it's one of those really churchy words that we really only use here. It's one of those words that is hard to define and describe. We kind of know what it means. It's sort of one of those things where if we were to have a test, We might be able to pick out the right answer if we had multiple choice, but if we had to do a little essay about it or write out the answer, it would be a little bit harder. Repentance is not an apology, although that's part of it, but it's only part of it. If all we do is say, "I'm sorry," then we've not repented. Repentance is acknowledging that what we are doing or saying or not doing or not saying is not God's intention for our lives and our relationships. So once we've acknowledged that we are not living out God's desire for us, we apologize to God and probably others, but then we do different. There must be a change of attitude or behavior for repentance. Last week, between Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday, my inbox and social media accounts were bombarded with ads. One of the companies that I got several emails from was a company called Old Lutheran. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with this company, but they make and sell all sorts of Lutheran products. T-shirts, coffee, pot holders, bags, anything with the Luther Rose on it that you can imagine, including for Christmas wrapping paper. But anyway, I got a few ads from Old Lutheran, and one of them was a picture of a t-shirt that said Metanoia on it. And it caught my eye because, one, how often do you see a t-shirt with a Greek word on it? Never. And two, metanoia is the Greek word for repentance in today's gospel lesson. It was kind of amazing that the word that talks about repentance today was on a t-shirt in my inbox. So the t-shirt had metanoia spelled out at the top, and then it had two definitions under it. The two definitions are, one, the journey of changing one's mind, heart, self, or way of life, and two, the act of reforming or becoming new. These are really good ways to think about, to define and describe repentance. So I'm going to repeat them again because I do think they're very helpful. Repentance is the journey of changing one's heart and mind and self and way of life, and the act of reforming and becoming new. Old Lutheran writes on their website that metanoia, repentance, the becoming new, begins at baptism and happens the whole rest of our lives. When we are baptized, we are buried with Christ. We die to sin and death and ourselves, and we are raised to new life in Christ. And this new life that we are raised to is a journey of metanoia, of repentance, of changing our hearts and our minds, our lives and ourselves, of becoming new our whole lives long. All of us, every single one of us, every single human is created in the image of God. But we spend our whole lives long growing more and more into the likeness of God. This is what our journey of faith is, of becoming more and more like Jesus, so that our lives reflect his life, so that what we say and do looks like what Jesus would say and do. This is the journey of becoming new, of changing our hearts and our minds, ourselves and our way of life. Repentance is hard. It's faithful work, but it is hard work because it's more than just saying, "I'm sorry." It's receiving God's mercy and forgiveness, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and our minds so that Christ can be born within us. Every heart is called to prepare room for Christ during this season of Advent. And the way we do that is through repentance, through becoming new, through changing our hearts and our minds, our lives and our very selves. So in the midst of all of our preparations, don't forget to take time for repentance. Don't forget John's call to become new. Advent is a season of preparation. John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord by proclaiming a message of repentance. And we are called to prepare for the coming of Jesus, both as an infant in a manger and the one who will come again in glory, with repentance, by changing our hearts and our minds, our lives and our very selves, by dying to sin and by being made new. Come and remind yourself of your baptism, that in Christ we have new life, that we are forgiven in the waters of baptism, the waters that lead us to the table where we receive the very presence of Christ within us, who alone enables us and empowers us for the hard and faithful work of repentance. Come, be fed and nourished so that we can prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.